Hi, I'm Dr. Lynn Wagner.
And I'm James Lohmiller. In the chaos of today, sometimes it's hard to really know who you are and what you want to be.
Join us, the doctor
and the stylist,
as we come together from very different worlds to guide you towards a life of authenticity and true health.
Let's go.
Good afternoon.
Good to see you. How you feeling?
Great.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I feel wonderful. I really do.
I do too.
I feel bad for so many people right now that are going through so many struggles, financially, emotionally, physically, but I feel pretty good.
Awesome.
Yes.
And we kind of want everyone to feel that way too.
Hell yeah.
Which is why we do this.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So what do you think? Oh, I know what I want to talk about.
Yeah. Good.
My energy healing session.
Would you please? Yeah. Cause you, described that to me before we recorded here. Describe that so people can like understand why you're like feeling on top of the earth.
On top. So,
right now.
And this is, I wanted to talk about with this episode because it's somewhat connected to the topic that we're going to be covering.
And real quick, if I may, like what sector of like help is this when you say you're going to like this energy healer?
Yes.
What, like, how would somebody even look that up? You know what I mean?
Yes. I have a hard time describing it in words myself.
Like, he's not a scientist, he's not a doctor, he's not a, you know, he's not none of these things. So
no,
what the hell happened today?
So I have someone who I see off and on, and I have over the years. Some people call him a witch doctor. Some people call him an energy healer. At the end of the day, I don't know how to describe what he does. Most people are familiar with acupuncture or Reiki therapy, those types of therapies. And it's, I would say, on the same plane as that. So it's a non-traditional form of healing that you don't learn in medical school for sure. And it's not necessarily talked about as commonly in the traditional world, especially not the traditional world of medicine. And so I have frequented types of healers like this myself over the years. And that is literally what made me go into integrative medicine, is that I would see these people and I would feel, like I told you this morning, I things literally just clicked, like the whole, everything just clicked into place. And I felt that flow state without having to work too hard at it. You know what I mean? And there, it's not the one. You know, a lot of people have issues with it. So if you're a religious person, you know, some people have issues thinking that this is a religious thing or it's a demonic, you know, thing where you're worshiping energy or spirits or whatever. And it's not a religious thing. This has to do with your energy. It has to do with your energy flow. Like, we are made of energy at our very basic level. We are energetic human beings. And I am 100% convinced that getting your energy to flow in a normal, healthy way is when you feel your optimum and you are at your peak performance.
So do you go to this person when you're feeling down, when you feel great? Like
both. So sometimes I just do it because I'm like, oh, hey, I haven't been in a while. I think I'll just go and get a tune up.
Yes.
Other times if I'm struggling, I'll, you know, for various reasons, I will go at that point in time.
Is this something like when you're done, it's just that like euphoric feeling of, does stress fall away? Does energy build inside of you and then burst out? Like,
no. Well,
so describe it.
It's not euphoric. It's not a euphoric feeling. It's just a stable feeling. It's a stable, balanced state of well-being. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, I love it because you can use energy healers to get that. And like we talked in our last episode, you can use your own lifestyle to get that way. So you can tweak your lifestyle and do certain things to kind of get you into that sweet spot. But it's just, you need to have all sorts of different tricks to get there. You know what
I
mean? Yeah,
no, I do. Yes.
Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. That's what happens when you still have things to do.
Right?
Yes.
Hold on. Jackson's going to have a pause here. I had to meet someone, just call. I'm supposed to have a meeting with someone, but I thought it was at 1:30. Okay. Sorry about that.
It's all good.
No, so that's the intro. Just, you know, it was just great. So I feel great. And you know, we've talked about this before. It's like, it was like my prep to this podcast recording.
How long does it last? After you've seen this person?
It depends. So it depends on what I do after the fact. So if I go there and I felt fairly broken or tired, or, you know, I was doing it more for a healing purpose. If I leave the session and then I practice healthy lifestyle stuff, it can last for a while. So,
because you were really happy when I saw you this morning.
Yeah. And I mean, I just have to be careful. So I have to make sure that I don't go and eat like crap, or I don't overwork, or I don't, you know, get in a stressful fight with my husband. You know, there's certain things you control, certain things you can't. But you just have to be mindful of that, and cool. It can last for a while. And then, the other cool thing is that the more you do it, the more memory your body has to click back into that state. Mm. So I find that where it used to take a long time for me to finally get there, now I almost feel the shift happen earlier, where it's like my body remembers what it feels like and how it wants to get there. And it doesn't take as much coaxing to get there.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's really cool. It's very cool. So the topic that we thought about talking about today, came to me from one of my most favorite quotes of all time. And the backstory, and I didn't tell you this backstory about it, but, it's from a book called Immortality by Milan Kundera, who's I think he's a Czech philosopher, but I don't know for sure. And when I was in high school, I had the opportunity to travel abroad, in Australia for 6 months. And at that time it was in the mid nineties. And at that time we were so free. I mean, my friend and I hopped on a bus, you know, drove 10 hours south of Perth and then rented a car and literally cruised around Southwest Australia for about 2 or 3 weeks by ourselves, just staying in hostels, hanging out with people from all over the world. We rented a cabin with these two guys from England. And it was in that little camping trip that one of the guys gave me this book. And for me, a Green Bay, Wisconsin girl, fairly close-minded, like very close-minded, very, you know, the thoughts that were coming out of this book and the quotes and the ideas, like mind blowing. And my favorite quote from that book, is this. So living, there is no happiness in that. Living, carrying one's painful self through the world, but being is happiness. I messed it up. Let me try again. Okay. Start over, Jackson. Okay. The quote goes like this. Living, there is no happiness in that. Living, carrying one's painful self through the world. But being is happiness. Being, becoming a fountain on which the universe falls like warm rain. Mm. Amazing.
Jesus.
And it's, if you're like me, it's hard to hear someone say a quote or read poetry and actually let it sink in. But I would encourage you to, you know, Google it, look it up and read it yourself and try to just wrap your brain around it, because it is amazingly beautiful. And so that's what I want to talk about this podcast today.
No, that's great. It is beautiful. But like me, what does it mean?
What does it mean? So, what I take it to mean, and the epiphany that I have with this quote over and over again, every time I read it, is that living is like Groundhog Day. It's just the drudgery of waking up, doing the same thing over and over again, putting one foot in front of the other and living. And that's not to say it's bad to live. Living is necessary. It's a necessary part of life. So the goal isn't that you always are in this state of being. But being is that state of when time stops and you're in awe and all of your faculties work together and you are in the zone and everything just clicks and you actually just like see things as they are and the beauty that's in them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
Because everything around us is literally always the same, but it's how we perceive it that makes a difference in terms of how we love how well our life feels and how well we feel in our life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I do. It's every day is the same.
Correct. No, right.
But
it's a funny way to look at it.
Do you feel the same
totally
every day?
True.
No.
Oh, of course not.
Yeah, right?
Right.
So I just think it's such a beautiful quote. And I have tried a lot of my life. Obviously, I've had periods of time where I check out or where I'm more checked in. But I've tried a lot of my life to be like, how can I be more in that state of being? And what pulls me away from being in that state of being? Mm. And then you work on that. So do you have any, talking about this, Can you think of something you're like, is there a time when you can remember being in more of a state of being versus a state of living?
Yeah. And it's, for me, it's a fairly simple one. When my kids reach out to me, text me or call me, like it puts me in such a different space.
Yeah.
I could be having the worst day and that I see that pop up and it puts me in a mood that it's very difficult to describe.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's really, really quite incredible.
That's awesome. And I totally agree with that when I'm around my kids, unless they're pissing me off, but most of the time when I'm with my kids, it's really easy to be natural and just authentic and raw and be very in a state of being. Like, that's awesome. What about a state of just living?
Yeah. I mean, especially now with what we're going through with this pandemic, and as we talked about in previous episodes, I'll use Zoom, for example, right? Necessary evil. Got to do it.
Right.
It's a part of our lives now, and it might be going forward. But to see that every day and to, like you said, get up that routine that I have to do this, right? This is the only for survival.
Right.
But yeah, goddamn, if you just had to live every day. Oof.
I know. And I find myself getting into ruts where, you know, there are some weeks where, you know, I get up every morning, I go for a run, get ready for work, have my breakfast, go to work, see patients, get home, yada, yada, right? The day goes on. And it just becomes this like constant cycle of sameness. And it's not that any one of those things is bad or that I don't like them and that they're not good for me, but it's just that rote, just like walking through the motions part of life. And that's when you have to kind of change it up and check in with yourself and say, where am I at? And what do I need to do to shift this a little bit? You know what I mean?
Yes.
And like, I like to think about, getting to that state of being. And this is a very similar concept to the flow talk that we had in a previous episode. So it's just a little different spin on it. But there are a lot of different barriers to being in a state of being. And we'll talk about a few, but there's a ton more. So stress, obviously.
Yes.
We've talked about that enough. Yep. I don't think we need to talk about that much more. But stress will be a big barrier for you. Toxins.
So that's a tough one. Like, what if toxins put somebody in a state of being?
Exactly. We could talk forever on this one.
Yeah.
People use toxins to get into a state of being.
For sure.
But it's an artificial state of being.
Yes. Got it.
So you feel good and you feel euphoric and you feel in the flow, but it's artificial and it's not really tapping into your true self. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it can a good example of this is medicinal mushrooms. There's a lot of studies going on about using psychedelic mushrooms for recovery and for depression treatment, depression, which I think is absolutely amazing. And basically they put people on a safe trip, quote, unquote, during which the person somehow it gets down to their subconscious level and they can do some really deep healing on old trauma. Mm. And it's fascinating and the results are really, really good. It's an amazing topic to look into, but I've also heard people say that you shouldn't need to go to an altered state of consciousness to heal. So there's other forms of, you know, there's meditation, there's prayer, there's other ways of getting to that altered state of consciousness or flow or whatever you want to call it, which are probably healthier and they don't have side effects. So go ahead.
No, I think somebody who might be desperate, who's been trying for a long time to heal, somebody that maybe it is a good option for them.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I totally support it. But I would say before you go to that level of taking a trip on mushrooms or a psychedelic to heal, try some of the other stuff first. But the toxins like alcohol and obviously like the hard drugs like cocaine and meth and heroin, there is no healing or being with those drugs. And they're obviously on a continuum. So obviously alcohol is legal and people use alcohol all the time. So I'm not like demonizing it.
There's just a better way.
There's just a better way. Right. Like if you're looking to be, like if you're using alcohol as a social lubricant and you just like to have that alcohol, totally different. That's fine. But if you think you need that to perform and be in a state of being, I would argue that you're wrong.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
The other thing is, like we talked about this already, is the routines and boredom and lack of spontaneity. Mm. So it's just really easy to get into your ruts and follow the same patterns. I mean, they've done tracking studies on people, which show just like how routine your life actually is. Have you seen that before?
No.
Like you literally like if they, like they do, there's like circles and patterns and pathways, yeah, and it's literally like the same thing. And you see the same people every day.
Gives me the chills.
And you see the same sights every day. That's why when you go on vacation, does it usually feel pretty damn good?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Take a different route home tonight.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Like
right.
Just drive somewhere different.
Right. So, I mean, we don't have to, right now we can't all travel. So what could you do that would be different that could just spruce it up a little bit? Different route to work.
Yeah.
Different work hours.
Yep.
Connect with a different person. Mm-hmm. You know, explore your backyard. Dig in your dirt a little bit. I mean, just plant a garden next in the spring. I mean, there's just so many different things you can do to change up that routine that you're following. When I walk around my neighborhood at night and people's blinds are open and all I see is TV, 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 recliner, recliner, recliner. Mm-hmm. I'm just sad.
Yeah.
Sad. Because I know, and I'm not saying it's bad to watch TV. I'm not saying it's bad to hang out in a recliner. It feels so good sometimes.
Yeah.
You need to rest, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I know that for a lot of people, they are in Groundhog's Day. And yeah, they are waking up and they're going to the mill or school or whatever they're doing for their day job. They're coming home and then they're going to the recliner.
That would certainly be a state of living.
Right. That's living. Right. So if you're in that state, I want you to ask yourself, like, when's the last time you felt like you were a fountain and the universe was falling on you like warm rain and you felt alive and you and just like open and bam, right?
Damn.
And if you've never felt that way, even more the reason to try it out.
Yes.
Because you'll never be the same and you don't need alcohol to do it. Maybe you need LSD. No, I'm just kidding.
No. Just a huge bag of weed.
No, I'm not saying that's done under medical supervision and it's still illegal.
Yes.
But there are medical trials being done with its use. And then I think another thing that is a barrier to being is being unauthentic. So I have struggled a lot with that recently, feeling not authentic.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah. Because, you know, everything, you know, I'm this integrative doctor, right? So I do things that are alternative, against the grain. I left the major healthcare system in my city. So I'm all by myself, right? And so I'm confused as to like, how far do I want to go into that alternative realm? And how much of a front do I want to put up so that my medical colleagues still think I'm normal?
You don't care about that, though, do you?
No,
I know what you mean.
No,
but
I don't. At a deep level, I don't care at all.
Right.
But we're conditioned and we have these patterns that you do it. And it's just, it's so part of me and it's so natural for me to put up that front and to say the right things. And, you know, even with politics, to just, you know, say the right things to the right people, to not ruffle any feathers. And I feel like that way in my world with my friends. I feel that way with my medical colleagues and my medical community. And it's really, really hard to live an authentic life.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what you mean because now that you're saying it, I'm hearing it, I can certainly relate.
Yeah. I mean, I would think you could relate with style.
Yeah.
I mean, being authentic with style, that is huge.
Dude, it's really hard. And I don't mean that to sound flippant at all, but it really is, because finding your identity and not doing it for someone else, you just need to do it for yourself. And that's it. And it takes us a long time to learn that.
Forever.
You have this group of friends that you go out with and everybody's dressed in a certain, you feel you have to come up to this level and be this thing. And it took me a very long time to understand that that is not how to be.
Right. So you go to these events.
Because that's living, not.
Yes. Me. So you go to these events and everyone's wearing the same thing for this event. It's that dress code, or they don't have dress codes anymore, but everyone just does it anyway.
Yeah.
You go to the office and there's what people wear at the office. You go to the grocery store and I mean, everyone wears whatever they want at the grocery store nowadays.
Goddamn right they do.
But no, I mean, that's like an ultimate state of like not being authentic. I mean, I think about myself and all the different phases I've gone through over the years with clothing. Don't laugh at me.
No, not you. I'm thinking about me. Oh, I'm not laughing at you.
You're laughing at your first glimpse at my closet.
God, no. I'm thinking about all the bullshit that I've worn over the years.
And you're
just like, why?
For who?
Ugh,
right? So,
gross.
So how could you be authentic with your clothing in a way that's really you and not, that's being, that's amazing. That's, I mean, you watch a documentary of a rock star on stage and they're just completely crazy outfit. I think I watched the Elton John movie recently and just watched him up there on stage, or Prince, or Madonna, or Katy Perry, or Lady Gaga, on. And you're just like, oh, that's it. Gwen Stefani. Damn. Love it. Amazing. So that's being, that's like, how do you, so that's a block to being is not being authentic. And so I personally always strive for that. And I would say, a block for me is not having a spiritual connection. So if I go through a phase where I'm not connecting spiritually, and I hear for people, like, what do you think of when I say spiritual or spirituality?
You know, I'm not a religious character, but I definitely have a spiritual side, right?
Yeah.
That something is out there,
right,
to help guide us, or, I mean, I could go on and on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean by spirituality. I have people all over the board. I have people who say my spirituality is nature. I have people who say, who are, you know, strict Catholics,
right,
who follow the dogma of Catholicism. I have agnostics, I have atheists, but you know, that those are few and far between. Most people have some level of spirituality. And if you have that, the more you connect to it, I think the more you're likely to be in a state of being. And also being too spiritual can block you from being in a state of being. Or too religious.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, if you're putting too many judgments or, or like constraints on your personal spirituality, I think it can actually block you as well. So let's give some advice. First of all, how do you think someone who feels like they're just living all the time, which is pretty good, living is good, but you want to be, what would we tell them to get into that state of being?
I think a lot of people are afraid to discover new things. I know plenty of people that are, they live, right? And they are stuck in this routine. But I've never really clung on to like this masculinity thing where it is, you know, you got to get up, you got to feel great, you got to worry. All this, you know, what society tells us we should do as men. And I'm clearly using men as an example here because I am one. But discover something new, and whatever you've been thinking about, just do it, and don't let others judge you for doing it. Nobody cares. I promise you that. If you've been wanting to discover something new, whether it's a new artist, music, or something, anything, do it and don't be afraid to talk about it. Open up. That's what a freeing thing that can be.
Absolutely. And I think on that line, you know, explore different things like art, music,
exactly,
travel, and you don't have to travel internationally or even in different states, you know, just travel locally in your city, go to a different place in your city.
Yes.
I mean, there's so many different nooks and crannies in every city that you live in that you might not have explored. But it's just going to stimulate your brain in a different way that can get you there faster. Try new food.
Yeah.
I mean, the amazing of spices and using different spices from different ethnicities, like try different cultures and make a recipe from a different culture. Make some chicken
awesome
tikka masala.
Point. That is an awesome point.
You know, make some plantains with black beans and rice, you know, get a cookbook. You don't need cookbooks anymore. Just Google it. People don't use cookbooks anymore.
No.
I do. I like to read them. And then meet new people, surround yourself with new people. Are you sitting there every day listening to the same news station, the same people bitching about the same thing with you, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
So get a different perspective, even if it's a complete opposite perspective from how you feel. And it doesn't mean you have to shift to that perspective, but let it trigger your brain cells a little bit. Let it just fire you up a little bit. get outside. Obviously the nature issue that we did prior to this talks about that a lot. And then obviously live healthy. You know, you can't be in a state of being if your body is sluggish and broken and diseased. You obviously can get there if you're diseased, but it's going to be easier if you're not diseased.
Perfect example. You were on a strong antibiotic over the last week or so, right?
Right.
So you didn't drink at all.
No.
And how great did you feel?
Amazing.
So break your routine.
Right.
And see what not drinking for a week does for you. See what not smoking for a week does for you and see where that puts you.
Yeah.
There's so many things. Break that routine of living, right?
Yeah.
See what the other side looks like.
Right, right.
And you might surprise yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So take home points.
Yeah. Try something new.
Try something new.
Break your routine.
Ask yourself. I want you to ask yourself in this moment, and not even in this moment, in this week, in this month, how often have you been in a state of being, or have you been just living and plugging through and slogging through the day? And how did that feel? And is that how you always want to feel? Obviously, probably not. If it is how you always want to feel, then maybe that's a different issue. But if you're like, hey, I like this idea of being. It sounds vibrant. It sounds textured. It sounds like something I want to experience.
Yes.
Then inspect your life and see how you're living it. Mm-hmm. You know, are you overdoing it on the toxins? Are you eating McDonald's every day? Are you fighting too much with your spouse? You know, what's blocking you from being in a state of being? And then if you identify a couple things that are blocking you, just make a couple changes, make a choice.
Yeah.
Say, hey, I'm not going to drink for a week.
Yep.
Or I'm actually going to take my vitamins. I'm going to take my vitamin D. It's going to be winter. I'm taking my vitamin D every day. Or I'm going to try a different food. Or I'm going to connect to that person who really pisses me off, but I really like them. Because I have a lot of friends like that, actually, mm-hmm. who sometimes when they post stuff on social media or they say stuff, I'm just like, ugh, you're pissing me off. But when I get together with them, it's just like dynamic and vibrant and it makes me feel better.
And I want you to watch the film by Jonathan Demme, Stop Making Sense, The Talking Heads.
Oh, I haven't watched that.
You've never seen
it? No.
You've seen it.
No.
Stop Making Sense? Nope. You've never seen that?
Never.
You want to like a really good time and you want to get into a state of being?
Really?
And you watch the progression of this concert, right? This show, and it will get you there. I promise. Do it.
I love it.
Stop Making Sense.
Talking
music,
Heads.
Talking Heads.
I love it. I'm in.
Good.
I'm in. Awesome. All right. Well, enjoy your day. Thanks for listening.
Yes.
Talk to us.
Cheerio.
Send us questions at docandjamesshow@gmail.com.
That's right. Follow us Instagram, Twitter @docandjamesshow.
Like us.
Like it all.
Share us.
Cool. Share me.
Share me. And tune in for the next one.
Cool. Thanks, guys.